We learned in the earlier segment that some places in America and some people are something less than welcoming to newcomers, but that's not the only obstacle that is to emigres, especially the highly skilled, even those with skills in great demand in the tech, medical, and other science disciplines in this country. There can be impediments to putting those skills to work here. Some call it a brain waste. Here to talk about it are Paul Feltman, Director of Global Talent Bridges with the World Education Services, a nonprofit that works with foreign-born professionals to help them evaluate their foreign degrees and skills training for recredentialing purposes. Blake Hamilton is Senior Manager of Workforce Solutions at the International Institute of St. Louis. It offers career advancement services for international professionals. Susan De Alis Gobo teaches Portuguese at St. Louis Community College, was a physical therapist in her native Brazil, and she joins us in studio as well. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, Paul, let me begin with you and ask you, what are the major barriers to people who come into this country with very marketable skills and have trouble using them here?
It's a great question, and it's a great challenge for us. For many highly skilled immigrants, they bring talents and skills that we so desperately need to help our economy. And yet, for many of them, things as straightforward as limited English, where they may speak English reasonably well, but perhaps not well enough to thrive in a professional setting. But they also come without the professional networking or experience that helps people find jobs and finds their way here in terms of their professional advancement. So what we find is that with the kind of support services that I think we'll hear a little bit more about in a moment, these immigrants can really be utilized more effectively by our society and our economy.
So it's not necessarily then an issue of the skills that they learned in their native countries or the credentials that they come here with are inadequate to meet our standards.
It's not that they're inadequate. It's that they're not well understood or fully kind of recognized by the larger society. So an employer who sees that someone has a foreign degree, it doesn't know anything about that university, perhaps there's a little sort of cloud of doubt about exactly what that academic experience, or in many cases, these people also bring professional experience that also is just a little bit of a mystery, I think. And so one of the things we try to do is help people understand what that academic background is equivalent to in U.S. terms, mm-hmm. but also very often people need help navigating the system, understanding how to use that their experience and connect to the workplace.
Just to be clear on this, if a doctor, a physician comes to us from Hungary, he's going to be qualified to be a doctor in this country. It's navigating the system that is the problem.
Well, they will have to be tested and held to the same standards and accounts that a U.S.-trained medical professional would be held to. So extensive testing, clinical practice and residency, but even understanding the route to getting the qualification is a long road, and particularly in the healthcare field, happens to be.
And Blake, this is where you come in and the International Institute comes in?
Yeah, we've been working with foreign-trained, high-skilled workers for several years through our Career Advancement for International Professionals program as a way to link them to professional credentialing services like they have at WES, in addition to pursuing pathways for recertifying them within their chosen field. And we find when working with those individuals that the credentialing is but one part of it, but the networking and language access are both parts that need to be considered when pushing somebody with high skills back into the profession that they've accumulated so much work and education in.
How much time would it typically take to get someone to the point where he or she could market and utilize those skills?
Well, in terms of the various professions, it varies so much mm-hmm. between professions. With teachers, it can happen relatively quickly. For medical professionals, for doctors, it can take years and years. And so what we're trying to do is have early intervention with folks when they come and they decide that this is the path they want to go down. Folks can take missteps early in the process that are costly, both monetarily and their time. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that they're getting the right direction as early as they can in order to ensure they're taking the right steps towards that path.
Well, let's find out from someone who's gone through this process. I gather we have just met, Susan, but is this something that you had to contend with?
Yes. Thank you for having me. And yes, it's correct. Blake and Paul, they clarify very well the situation because I have my background in the healthcare area. And I am physical therapist, and I have my post-graduation certificate. And I went through, first of all, I started doing this by myself, and it's huge. It's very complex. I went through the internet, and I tried to find information, and they send you link to link, and it's very complicated. And then I tried to find, like, I didn't know about International Institute, but I tried to go to the universities, and they don't know how to help you. I translated all my documents, so they asked me a lot of things, but they said, I know that you have a lot of education, but I don't know what to do with you, so probably you have to start from the scratch. And I studied for 8 years. So that's hard.
This obviously was not something you anticipated when you came to this country. Did you think you'd just be able to go right to work as a physical therapist?
No, when you came here. Because when I came, it was supposed to be a short mission. Like, I came because of my husband's work, mm-hmm. and he works for a multinational company. And so the company offered him to come for a short mission for 1 year or two. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I will take sabbatical year. And I was writing a book about physical therapy at that time. I said, oh, it's going to be great. I can finish my book and I can learn English. That time I could not speak any English. So I said, so I'm going to learn another culture. So I was not thinking in working here. And by the way, I didn't have permission to work because I was under my husband's visa. This is another problem, too.
Yeah, that would be a big problem, I think. Visas always seem to raise their ugly head when it comes to this this particular issue. Yeah. So how do we deal with that?
Well, one of the things that it's striking to me and hearing that story is that we are short in this country of highly skilled healthcare professionals. Now, healthcare is a highly regulated field, and so it's entirely reasonable that people have to be put to the test, literally and figuratively, in terms of getting their, what sometimes referred to as recertification in their professional field. And the fact is that for many, it's the journey can be years. It can be quite expensive. And one of the things that I think some of the programs like the International Institutes look at are what are the best pathways? What are the ways to sort of help people find sometimes what we call a gateway job, an mm-hmm. opportunity to work in the field utilizing the skills that they have and perhaps take more time to sort of build up toward becoming relicensed in their profession? Mm-hmm. That's one of the sort of opportunities and challenges that people face.
But I'm get to you in just a second. I see you're nodding your head there, Blake. But it seems to me that the visa thing always seems to get in the way when we have these kinds of conversations. That very specific visas have to be engaged.
Well, this is the case. In certain cases, it was. She was on a temporary visa or coming through the work of her spouse. But most of the people, and I hate to throw a lot of numbers at you, but there are 7.2 million college-educated immigrants who are living permanently with permanent residency or citizenship in the United States who don't need a visa at all. Mm-hmm. 1.8 million of those 7.2 million, or about 25%, are either unemployed or working in unskilled jobs even though they have university degrees. Half of those with the university degrees actually have advanced degrees. And so in the context of skilled immigrants and refugees who are here illegally and have work authorization, the visa is not an issue. The issue is more about understanding how to navigate the system, looking at alternatives, and finding opportunities that allow them to use to transfer their skills. And sometimes, as I say, take step by step to get back to their intended career.
Blake, you look like you want to get in on this part of the conversation.
Well, there's many pathways for people to come recertified or engage with their field of that they've been trained in. And at the International Institute, in our Center for Career Advancement, which we'll be launching shortly, we're developing individualized career pathways to really examine on an individual basis what somebody's best pathway back to their field might be. You know, for some, it might be just getting their degree verified and sitting for an exam and becoming certified in their field and practicing here in Missouri. For others, it might be a longer process, more convoluted, that would involve professional development or continuing ed courses and creating stackable credentials that allow them to sort of ascend within their field from where they can get in, which is usually a little bit lower than where they may have been educated to or where they may have held the job in their previous country.
I wonder if more work shouldn't be done on the other end before they come in terms of preparing for that adjustment and continuing their professional career. Is that something that...
It's a great point. Many immigrants don't always anticipate the challenges that are there. And of course, they're not familiar with our culture. They may not know the systems. Mm-hmm. There's a lot involved in immigration in the process for your family on a personal level, on a professional level. And so very often having done better research would be a great step forward. But the process still throws barriers in people's way. The one thing I also wanted to mention when you talked about the sort of the visa issue, and I mentioned so many people already here, work authorized, mm-hmm. living in our communities full-time, permanently already. It's a surprising statistic that I think, getting back to your previous conversation earlier in the show, in the last 5 years, more than about 40% of the immigrants coming to this country have bachelor's degrees or higher. Most people are surprised 40%. To hear that. And so the conversation, which, again, alluding to your earlier discussion, often centers on outdated perceptions of the immigrant community. Immigrants are tremendous assets to our community, not in terms of only their professional skills, huge contributors in terms of entrepreneurship and setting up businesses and the International Institute. And their partners, the Mosaic Project, which is your regional initiative to attract foreign-born.
I was just going to bring that up.
Are really looking at immigrants as assets, recognizing that they are here, they're members of our community, and we're wasting their talent. We're not taking full advantage. And they generate jobs once they're propelled into the places and using the talents that they have.
Well, we hear stories of men and women with medical degrees, for instance, driving taxi cabs in New York City and that sort of thing. Susan, let me get back to you. Are you working at all now as a physical therapist?
No. I looked for new opportunities. Mm-hmm. And now I'm teaching Portuguese in St. Louis Community College, and I'm also the board of a nonprofit organization, a Brazilian nonprofit organization, and we do a lot of events. So I helped to create this Portuguese program, and we started small, but we got bigger, and then we did a partnership with St. Louis Community College. Now we have 7 classes running in St. Louis Community College, and I'm the coordinator of this program there.
Is physical therapy something you would like to do, or are you just because you have these other interests now and doing these other things, that's where you're going to go?
Yeah, I love my career. I spend a lot of time, money, energy in my career, my professional, so I miss that a lot.
But you you don't sound like you have plans to go back to it.
Well, like they said, it's a long path, you know. Yeah. So it's costly, and I have my young daughter that she's in high school. She's in few years she's gonna be in the college. So I have to think about her career as well.
When you came to this country, you didn't anticipate being here for a particularly long time. A year, I think you said?
Yes.
Maybe be here a year.
Yeah.
Do you think, with regard to the question I asked earlier about having been better prepared on the other end before you came here so that you could have gotten into your chosen field?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, the company offered my husband to come, and it was like a ping pong thing. Like they asked him to move from place to another place. By the way, he lived in Canada, in Switzerland, but I was not with him. And when they offered to come over here, I said, I'm going with you because 1 year, 1 year and a half. So and then we didn't know where we are supposed to go. That's why, and I know that United States you have like a state law for professions, so credentials.
50 different systems. Sure.
So I don't know where I'm going. So I don't know if I'm coming back to Brazil. I don't have visa. So when they offered us to come to St. Louis, and they offered, after 2 years, they offered my husband to stay, to work here as a local, then apply for our green card. Then I said, okay, now let's see what I can do in my profession. And even though it took 2 years and a half to go through the way to the path for a green card, so I stay in the limbo. So a lot of time, and that's hard.
It's got to be very, very difficult. Paul, what about the government and the government's position on this, and what could the government do to make this whole process easier? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. In fact, it's interesting you raised that. One of the challenges that you'd mentioned is that there are 50 different states with 50 different sets of licensing laws. There are different cities and communities around the country that are more or less welcoming to immigrants. At the federal level and at various state levels, we work at West Global Talent Bridge. We're part of a coalition called the Imprint Project, called Imprint. We actually did some research in this field called Steps to Success. And Imprint is a coalition of groups that are committed to finding ways to look at addressing some of the structural challenges. We're working with, in fact, federal agencies around trying to find ways to streamline opportunities for skilled immigrants. It is tricky because there are the state regulations that come into play when it comes to licensing. But there is more effort and attention being paid with some of the workforce funding that comes from Washington and flows through the state governments to try to offer a little more flexible kinds of opportunities to address the very unique challenges that foreign trained professionals face. It's not traditionally an audience that's thought about, but being so highly educated, and in fact, so many of them come with skills in the areas of healthcare and science, technology, engineering, math, the very fields where we have the greatest shortages tend to be the fields where many of the foreign trained professionals actually have their high levels of training. And so we have this mismatch that we're trying to address at a policy level in Washington and in local communities, but it's really you're really very lucky here in St. Louis to have the International Institute working collaboratively with the Mosaic Project, because I think you need strength and you need stakeholders and institutions from across the community that can work together to recognize the possibilities and the opportunities, and then to put the programming in place which actually launches these people back into their professional careers.
Blake, what kind of problems do you run into with regard to the red tape and the system, if you will, the politics of it, the laws, the state laws?
Well, again, it's different for every profession, and the pathway is different for everybody. But what we continually see is where those pathways are quite restrictive, immigrants are entrepreneurial by nature. They've made an entrepreneurial decision to take their abilities and talents, bring them to our country. And so what we find is, as the story here is not uncommon, when folks run into a wall, they seek entrepreneurial opportunities. And so part of our Center for Career Advancement is including entrepreneurism as a pathway in addition to recertification, and that's
hello, Susan. I mean, that's basically, it sounds like what Susan is.
It's not uncommon, which is why we want to offer that as part of the pathway, because we see that as being, you know, if you have a 50-year-old doctor who has dreams of becoming a doctor again, it might take 10 years. And so rather than doing that, we see people who are trying to open up their own shop and do different things to sustain themselves and still gain fulfillment.
Our time is limited here, but it just occurs to me, is there opposition to this on the other side, that is the home countries of the people who want to come here? Because there is such a thing that we call brain drain. They don't want to lose these folks. They're folks they need as well.
It's an interesting point. People choose to move, and the fact is that there's a kind of a newer construct that's called brain circulation. People actually in the old days moved and never looked back. In today's society, people, in fact, move from country to country, send earnings back home to their home country. So countries are not looking at this so much as, of course, there is an element of brain drain, but there's also an element of recirculation of talent. and recirculation of the rewards that people get when they maximize their careers here. And so it's that dynamic has shifted a little bit as our world has come closer together.
We only have a few seconds left. Where do we go from here in this whole process? We just stay where we are? Is it we treading water? Or are we going to find a way to make this an easier transition?
Well, creating these new programs at the International Institute, we feel that we now have constructs in place to really provide the full assistance that's needed for locals here and maybe being even more attractive to talent nationwide to come here and utilize the services that we have available to advance people in their career path.
Susan wants to say something, but you only have 15 seconds to say it.
Okay, I just want to say a message to the immigrants who comes like myself
to come over here
and look for institution like International Institute or Mosaic to help them to find a path.
Good advice. Thank you so much. Susan Gobo, thank you for being with us. Blake Hamilton, thank you for being with
thank
us
you.
From the International Institute. And Paul Feltman with the World Education Services, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on this issue. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.